The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Brandon Tatum is a 7-year veteran of the Tucson Police Department. He's a YouTube sensation with 1.9 million subscribers. He started Blexit with Candace Owens, and now he's tackling his biggest assignment yet. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. It is Friday. I would say I can't wait for the weekend, but there's no such thing as a weekend in the day in the life of Brandon Tatum. I just got more and more stuff to do on the weekend. But I hope that you guys are having a wonderful week. I hope you have a wonderful day. For all my Floridians out there, we're praying for you. I've seen some of the devastation on video, and it is shocking to me. You know, I had Carl Jackson on. He lived out there in Florida. I think he lived in the Orlando area. And he was just saying this was one of the worst storms that he's ever seen, probably the worst and most damaging storm that he's seen while living in Florida for the last 20 years. I saw people's houses just completely demolished and devastated. People literally having lakes in their living room. And I think that, you know, it's so scary when these natural disasters happen because it's unfortunate that people are going to lose their lives. It's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no way around it. According to some of the articles that I've read earlier, it says more deaths reported in Florida related to the hurricane. It says in an update, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis on Friday morning, which is this morning, Florida Division of Emergency Management Director Kevin Guthrie announced more fatalities from Hurricane Ian. He told reporters that there was one confirmed death reported in Polk County. In the hard-hit Charlotte County, 12 reported fatalities were unconfirmed. In Collins County, there were 8 unconfirmed deaths. Guthrie noted that the state was still processing a couple of other situations, including one where human remains had been found. He also warned about carbon monoxide issues, although noting he was not saying there had been carbon monoxide deaths. The governor announced that more than $12 million in donations have been raised following Hurricane Ian's devastation. This is, you know, the pictures are right here. For those of who are watching online, I mean, we see the pictures of the devastation. It looks like Armageddon. I'm not shocked that things like this happen in Florida because hurricanes do come through Florida periodically, and there's other hurricanes that have been in effect damaging it similarly to Hurricane Ian. It seems like Hurricane Ian has a little more juice than the rest of them, but still, I mean, hurricanes have been devastating. I know I have an article, The Forgotten Man. My producer gave me an article. I got to filter through all this paperwork to pull it out. But there's a comparison. Here it go. The estimated damage in comparison to these other Florida hurricanes. You see, Hurricane Charlie followed a similar path. Let me move up a little bit because I want to read this so we can make sure we have some proper statistics. Let me go here. It says, to date, the costliest storms have been Hurricane Katrina. Here are the top 5 storms. So Hurricane Katrina in 2005 cost $65 billion worth of damage. Hurricane Ian is second. So far, Hurricane Ida. Hurricane Ida in 2021, $36 billion of damage. Hurricane Irma. 2017, $30 billion in damage. Hurricane Harvey, 2017, $30 billion in damage. Hurricane Sandy in 2012 was $30 billion in damage. So over the course of a few years, you could tell that hurricanes in Florida sometimes can get to peak damage level, damaging tens of billions or carrying tens of billions of dollars worth of damage. But regardless of any of these stats that I'm talking about, I mean, this has to be horrifying to watch the ocean literally flow down your street, take over your house. Some people refused to evacuate. Some people did evacuate. Some people probably was not aware at what to do related to evacuations. So our prayers go out to them, man. If you know people in Florida, you know, I got one of my graphic designers live in Florida. And he talked to us yesterday, and I totally forgot to ask him, dude, are you okay? I mean, was your house hit by the storm? Or I think he's in, he may be in the Tampa area. But I thought some prayers go out to them. I want to play this clip from Ron DeSantis, just giving a quick update. I think there's at least one clip that I have of Ron DeSantis. Let's play clip 5 of Ron DeSantis reporting of the power outages that have occurred in the state of Florida. Wrote a clip.
As of 6 a.m., there are about 1.9 million people, our customers, without power. Right now, the hardest hit areas are Hardy, 99% without power as of this morning. Charlotte and Lee both have 85% without it. And DeSoto is at 80% without. Sarasota, Collier, Manatee, close to half of the customers there are without power. Hillsborough and Pinellas, 15 to 18% are without power. And these crews have been on the ground since it was safe to do so. And they are working 24/7 to be able to restore power all throughout the state of Florida. And that's over 42,000 linemen and associated personnel that are on the ground. FDOT has had over 1,300 people on the ground. They've cleared more than 1,100 miles of roadway. I was happy to see the traffic flowing in Southwest Florida. Obviously, there's some structural problems in some of the bridges.
What a wonderful job I think DeSantis is doing here. It just separates him from other people who lead, especially of the people who are governors of different states. You know, there's no blame game going on with Ron DeSantis. He's not looking in the camera, arguing with people and blaming this person and that person and this person and that person. He's very clean about what he's saying. And I love the fact that this hasn't been a political issue for Ron DeSantis. Now, other people in the media have tried to make this into a political issue, but Ron DeSantis has refused to make this a political issue, saying that he's reached out to the Biden administration and Joe Biden administration. His administration has fulfilled at least some relief packages, some relief funding for the state of Florida. Now, I would expect nothing less unless you're completely out of your mind and you never want to see another election again. If you have a natural disaster that occurs in a particular state, it doesn't matter what state it is. The federal government should be funding the people there. That is political suicide if he didn't. So I don't want to give him too much kudos for doing something that he should do. And maybe, let me take this back. Joe Biden didn't do nothing. The people who are running the show are doing stuff. Joe Biden is literally a dementia patient, a.k.a. figurehead, that they put into place to be a placeholder. He is completely out of his mind. He do not know what's going on. And I do not give him credit specifically for doing anything. He literally, I saw him the other day walking around on stage. He didn't know where to go. The more recent press conference he had, I forget where he was at, NASA or something. I don't know where he was at. He gives this speech. The lady is trying to corral him like he's a deranged, lost mental patient. And he runs off and goes in the crowd. He's squeezed by a guy in a chair. It's like, where are you going? The lady's trying to corral him, but she don't want to be obvious on TV that she's trying to get him back to standing in front of the podium like he's supposed to. You know, it pees me off, man. It pees me off when I think of the fact that they had hoodwinked us. And I'm not trying to get into politics. We were talking about Florida, but they hoodwinked us, man. They straight lied to us about what happened in 2020. They lied to us. They tricked us. There's no way that fool got the most votes out of any president of the United States of America. He didn't even campaign. And his skill set is trash. People were sick of Obama. Were sick of Obama Biden. That's why they voted for Trump. And you telling me all of a sudden Biden has this resurrection? Nah, man, it didn't happen, man. They cheated the election. They cheated the election. Look at me. They cheated the election. They cheated. They found ways to get. There's people testing. There's people confessing to this every other month. I'm seeing people getting arrested and confessing to crimes related to the election. They're cheated. They got dead people to vote. They got old people, older people who were in nursing homes who were not cognitively able to make a decision. They took the ballots and voted for them. You know, who knows what they did with the machines? Trump is winning, and then overnight it changed. But no, don't just listen to that. Look at the job that Biden is doing. And you telling me how these two things match up. Joe Biden has the worst presidential rating out of anybody I've ever seen at this point that haven't been convicted of a crime. He has a tremendously poor rating. He's done nothing. He's half retarded. And we just act like nothing ever happened. Ladies and gentlemen, hold the phone. I'll be back after the break. MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You all have helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, investor and CEO, wants to give back exclusively to his listeners. The Percale bed sheet sets is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they are all on sale. For example, the queen sizes are regularly priced at $89.98, but now they're only $39.98 with our listeners' promo code. Order now, because when they're gone, they gone. The Percale sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. These come with a 10-year warranty and also a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out on this incredible offer. There are a limited supply, so make sure that you order now. Call 1-800-976-8379. Use promo code Brandon or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and use promo code Brandon. This offer will not last long, so order now with promo code Brandon at MyPillow.com for your exclusive offer on the Percale sheets.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
I want to change subjects real quick, and I just have to talk about this. And the people who are watching me can visibly see me, and you can go back and watch it later. If you're listening in the car, you can just pull up the app on the Salem News Channel app and just watch this segment. But I want y'all to see this injury from... I don't know, Tui. What's how you say his name? Tui? Tagovailoa. Tagovailoa. I got to look at it to read it. But Tui, they call him Tui. He's the quarterback for the Dolphins. He played for the University of Alabama. Was a very, very talented kid. I mean, he was one of the most outstanding players at the University of Alabama. He went on to the NFL. And he has had back-to-back just sick, scary head injuries. And the one that he's had this week, literally, once his head hit the ground, his fingers... You got to look at it. His fingers begin to curl up and crunch up uncontrollably because of the severity of that head injury. So I want to show the people who are watching, and if you're listening, just imagine what I'm saying here. Let's roll that clip of Tui and his head injury.
His ability to make adjustments at halftime.
Tua rolling left with the grain, and down he goes. Slung down in his own 48-yard line. Josh Tupu. And
Post slams him to the ground. I mean, it's you're thinking about the back, the ankle, but he gets thrown to the ground
again, wrenching that back, which was the issue last week.
Yep.
So they work on him. We'll step away for a moment. And Mike Ryan tells us when he sees that.
Look at his fingers, man.
You are as well. It's a
look at his fingers
response to head trauma. So they're stabilizing him right now.
Listen, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there is no way that I think he should play football ever again. It's unfortunate, but there's no way he should play football ever again. For the people who are listening, his fingers are literally crunched up like he has a serious injury to his hands, or he's like throwing up gang signs. I'm not trying to be funny. It looked like he's throwing up gang signs. I don't know. I'm not going to make fun of what gang I think he's a part of, but it is a very traumatic scene to watch a young man have a head injury like that. And in football, these are the things that are concerning. It's when you take a head injury, what is the residual effect? I was telling Nick, because he's a sports buff, his team is the Oakland Raiders, unfortunately, because they get their heads beat in almost every other weekend. Matter of fact, every weekend. They may win a game this year, they may not. I told Nick if they actually win a game, I'm going to take him out and buy him a shot of bourbon, which I'm probably going to save my money because they're probably not going to win a game. However, you know, he's a big sports guy, and obviously I played sports in college. I was a football player at the University of Arizona, All-American coming out of high school into college. But when a guy gets a head injury like that, and you see him get an impact head injury again the following week, that is a clear red flag for a player not to continue to play, especially when they're that severe. The first one, he took a head injury. He tried to stand up. He couldn't walk. He kind of ran to the huddle, and then his legs gave out. That is trauma. I mean, I've had some hits, man, where I rang my bell. I was seeing double. But then also one time I was running, we were playing 7-on-7, me and the wide receiver were running for the ball at the same time, and we bumped head to head, no helmet, just skull on skull. And literally I had a black eye for a week, people thought I got beat up. But like the worst of that injury is that I sustained a slight concussion, a mild concussion, and I almost threw up. And so that tells you that I had a pretty significant head injury. But I have never had a head injury so bad that I'm walking and my legs give out, or my head injury is so bad that my fingers curl up and who knows, his toes probably curling up too in an uncontrollable fashion. That was absolutely scary. But that leads to players not being able to play again, because once you have concussions like that, your brain is now susceptible for concussions to consistently come at an easier pace. Meaning that the first time he gets hit in the head and his head hit the ground, he's gonna seize up and have another severe concussion. So I really hope that he make a business decision and say, look, man, I don't think I'm going to play anymore. And maybe take that medical retirement. I'm sure they offer him retirement. One of my friends played in the NFL. He had a pension. I'm like, God dang, they giving pensions in the NFL? Yeah, he got a pretty good pension. He played for like 8 years. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there, because that was one incident that I thought was incredibly shocking. And so going into the break, I'm going to have to send my guys this other video. And I don't know if we could play it on the Salem News channel because it's a police shooting. It's stuff that's blurred out. But I want you to see this cop, and I'll talk about it because I made a YouTube video about it. A cop literally drive to the scene, put his Starbucks down, get out, grab the AR-15, and hit the suspect from 180 feet away. I'm not 180 yards away. I don't think he broke a sweat. But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about that next, because I have so much respect for law enforcement officers, and I got to highlight this gentleman who is a hero amongst heroes. Hold the phone. You listen to the Officer Tatum Show. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show on the Salem News Channel, on the Salem Podcast Network, and right here, right now.
Uncle Tom 2 is an eye-opening documentary everyone in America should see. Brandon Tatum here, and Uncle Tom 2 offers a compelling and brave analysis of the true history of Black America, the cultural shift from prosperity, integrity, and faith to its current perceived state of anger, discontent, and victimhood. Uncle Tom 2 offers historic footage, photos, correspondence, and data to reveal the genuine strides of Black America in the 20th century, the deliberate Marxist strategy to create racial tension and replace God with government, the NAACP's sinister agenda, the fall of Black Harlem, the truth behind Black Lives Matter, and the demoralization of America for political power. Don't miss Uncle Tom 2 from executive producer Larry Elder and director Justin Malone, with yours truly, Vody Bachum and Chad O. Jackson. Watch the movie on demand or buy the DVD now at salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com, salemnow.com.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. Common sense in an uncommon way. Act like you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum. Follow me on social media at The Officer Tatum. Website, TheOfficerTatum.com. I think we tried to send over the video of that police officer, but I just want to explain the scenario before I get into the subject at hand. So there's a police officer in Tacoma, Washington, who, well, let me put the scenario together. There's a suspect who got into a domestic violence altercation with his girlfriend. She calls the police on him. She runs out to the house. She tells the dispatcher before she runs out of the house that, hey, he has a bunch of guns down in the room that he stays in. You know, he's a violent individual. She ends up making contact with police. While she's talking to police, she said, hey, he has a gun. He has an AR-15. The guy's crazy. They get her to a safe area. This guy ends up confronting the police, not cooperating, going back inside the house. The police show up in the alleyway and also in the front yard to try to contain him. He comes out. He pulls out a gun. He starts shooting at the police officers. He shot at the police officers in a hail of bullets at least three separate times before Super Cop showed up. So Super Cop showed up with testosterone that you can see coming out of his ears. He pulls up to the scene. He put his coffee cup. He had a Starbucks latte. He put his latte on the dashboard. I mean, on the dash. He walks around. He pulls his rifle out. He didn't say nothing. The guy is shooting at him while he's doing this. And he didn't do nothing but get his rifle together, load a round in the chamber, set up on the back end of the SUV, and take one shot from 183 yards away. That's out of control. And he actually hit the guy. And gets on the radio, say, hey, y'all shut up talking. He didn't say this, but this is what he felt. I could feel it through his voice. Because everybody's on the radio. Oh, shots fired. Oh, I'm going to this corner. I'm in the AB corner. Shut up. I just shot the guy. He's down. All right, then let's go and clear the scene, take this guy into custody, and be done with it. So come to find out, after they've tactically bounded up to his location, and when I say bound, that means he's going from one location to one location to one location. They are going from location to location behind cover, right? They go to this car, make sure they're set, go to that car, and it's called bounding in policing. So they bound up to him, and they realized that he had a self-inflicted wound. So the police officer that showed up at the scene actually shot him. He went down, and then he shot himself while he was on the ground. But when you watch that video, I'm going to make a video about this on my YouTube channel. Obviously, the people that are watching online right now, they can see the video. When you watch the video, you're going to see the courage and bravery of law enforcement officers. When most people are crying and fleeing and running and skinning their knees up, trying to get away from a shooter, these police officers come, and they come ready for business. And I don't know if I said this on my show yesterday, but I just want to – I got 1 minute to explain this. I want you guys to watch this documentary, and maybe I shouldn't be promoting this documentary, but it's a dang good documentary that I think will change your perception of policing. It's called 11 Minutes. Now, you can Google how to get there and find it and do whatever you need to do, but that particular documentary – is about the Vegas shooting, and it shows from a police perspective and all the carnage and people dying. They got all kind of video. I'm like, how are they video recording all this stuff? But there's one scenario where there's a guy, a father, and he's having a conversation with his son. He's on a SWAT team, and his son is at another location. Now, I'm running out of time, so you just hold the phone, and I'll tell you guys more about that particular father-son connection or that father-son conversation when we come back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. That's the Officer Tatum Show. I got this news clip that Nick sent to me at the break, and I'm completely dumbfounded and perplexed at what I'm reading. I can't believe I just cannot believe that this headline is true. And according to this headline, it says biological female volleyball players banned from locker room for feeling uncomfortable changing with a transgender teammate. Now, I'm going to read the article to you. It says what happened when a high school biological female speaks up and says that she's not comfortable with a biological male changing with her in a locker room. In this case of Vermont High School, the local school officials reportedly decided that they'll settle the issue by banning the use of the locker room. According to WCAX in Burlington, Vermont, it was a dramatic, it says drama erupt this season as biological females from the Randolph High School volleyball team when a biological male made inappropriate comments while changing with the biological females. The station reported that parents and athletes raised concern with the school and that that's when the wheels of the transgender movement begin to roll. I'll continue to read. The biological females were the problem, according to the school policy. An email was sent out to the families explaining Vermont law. The email stated that there is plenty of spaces. This is in quotes. That there is plenty of space where students who feel uncomfortable with the law may change in private. And you heard this right. It says if you're a biological female who don't feel comfortable changing in a locker room with a biological male, then you are the problem. And it's you that needs to find a place to change. It is very similar response to the issue raised by the University of Pennsylvania, a biological female who were told to share a locker room space with Leah Thomas. It goes on to say the biological female, Blake Allen, a member of the volleyball team, says that she was encouraged by her mother to speak out about the situation to make a change. While nothing she does by noting she doesn't want biological men changing with her, is what she said. Now, there's a lot more to this article. I'll put it in the description section somewhere. You can find it on when I make the YouTube video later. You can find it in the description section. But it's asinine to me that we've gone this crazy in our country. It blows my mind. I just can't believe it. I can't believe we're here. You got a dude running around dressed like a girl with a wang hanging out. And that's supposed to be totally fine. And then he goes in the locker room, make an inappropriate comment to women, and y'all supposed to be all for women's rights. And then you say every woman's supposed to leave the locker room. He get the change. They got to stay. I mean, he get to stay. They got to leave. It's asinine. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break. Ladies and gentlemen and ladies, welcome back to the Austin Tatum Show. I want to finish the conversation I was having about that volleyball player or the volleyball team. If they don't like the fact that a man got his jangling hanging out and want to act like he's a girl to be in a locker room with young women, that they all need to leave the locker room just so he can change by himself. I swear to God is my witness. I'm so sick of this stuff. That is literally driving me crazy. It makes me want to act out, right? When I say act out, it makes me want to go to these places and protest them. Have my sign, protest out there like the hippies. Get me a trailer and stay out there and protest them every single day till they do something different. There is no way in the world we should even be having this conversation at this point. Why do you hate women? I do not understand why the same people that claim to be championing women, I can't even say the word right. They're the same ones who are putting women in a poor position. Leah Thomas is a man, and in his deranged mind, he feel like a woman. That's fine. You live in America. You can feel like chicken noodle soup all you want. I don't care. Nobody should care. But no, you can't just feel like that. You need the world to see you like that. You can't just admire swimming. You have to thwart the rights and the abilities and accomplishments of other women because you decide to be a woman this year. I don't understand. America, what are we doing at this point? What are we even doing? A man, he want to be a woman, quote unquote, for the 30 minutes. And everything women have built their whole life, he just can wipe it out. Dude was getting his ashy elbow kicked, swimming as a man, coming to the women's thing, and he's number one, breaking records. You know it ain't fair. God is my witness. God is my witness. I don't have a daughter, but if I had a daughter and I went to the school, and they first of all, if they let a trans person in the locker room with my daughter, I'm going to go to that school and people will be crying when I'm done ripping their ashy elbows. I'm going to rip them to shreds verbally. They will be crying when I'm done, or I'm going to be going to jail. One of the two is going to happen. I would never allow this to happen to my children. Enough is enough. It's okay to be inclusive with people, but you can't be so inclusive that you thwart other people's rights. Young women who are playing volleyball, they have the right to be safe and feel secure in a women's locker room. And then the person's apparently made a comment that was off-putting, which made young women feel uncomfortable. And it's just one person. Tell him to take his butt into the unisex bathroom and he can change in the bathroom and the other female teammates can change like normal. You want to be different, then you going to be different. They're willing to kick every woman out the locker room for one person. You can't make this stuff up. You can't make it up. They're driving us to begin to hate one another. Because I honestly feel like people are in the mode of live and let live. But when you keep thrusting it, it makes other people begin to resent you. And then the resentment turns into hatred. Hatred turns into violence. It's like, do you want to get people hurt? Then you should not be creating resentment, and resentment turning into violence, and the violence in the mind turn into violence in reality, and people die when that happens. And I'm telling you, they're pushing people to the limit, man. They're pushing people to the limit, just like race relations. You say, oh, poor black people. Oh, well, you know what? Since you're black, you get to go to college for free. Or since you're black, you don't have to pass the entry exam. And then that creates envy and frustration and animosity. Because the white kid that came from a poor background, it's like, I'm poor too. How do I not get an opportunity? Oh, you just let the – I wasn't alive when people were racist. I'm alive now, and you're discriminated against me because of the color of my skin. Then there becomes resentment. Resentment turning into hatred. Hatred turning into violence. That's exactly what happens. And they know that's what happens. They want it to happen. Let me go on to this next story that I want to talk about. At least 16 people hurt. Let me read the headline that makes sense. At least 16 shot on Tuesday into Wednesday in New York City. This other headline says at least 16 hurt in 9 shootings during a bloody day in Chicago. Okay, that makes sense. There's 9 separate shootings that occurred and over 16 people were hurt. No, it says that at least 16 were hurt in 9 shootings, which is what the article says, that erupted in a bloody span between Tuesday afternoon and Wednesday morning across the Big Apple, police say. Gunfire broke out in every borough during a 16-hour period, with all of the Wednesday incidents happening in the Bronx, authorities said. The gunplay included 2 separate shootings in which 4 people, including an innocent bystander, were shot and wounded. The most recent shooting erupted around 7:30 a.m. Wednesday. It says in front of the Fordham Heights, which is what the cops said. A 42-year-old man was standing outside when he was slashed in the face and shot in the back by 2 gunmen. Who took off in a dark-colored scooter, The victim was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Around 6:45 a.m., a man walked into the Lincoln Medical Center with a gunshot wound, which is what cops say is unclear where and when he was shot. Also in the Bronx, 31-year-old man was shot during an attempted home invasion robbery inside an apartment complex. A stranger entered his apartment, displayed a gun, and demanded his property. The sources say when he refused, He was blasted in the stomach, authorities say. Okay, let me go read that again because I ain't reading that clearly. It says in the Bronx, a 31-year-old man was shot during an attempted home invasion. Okay, so he wasn't the home invader. He was an innocent bystander. The home invader came in after he refused. They shot him. And I'm just reading a few of these 16 shootings and 9 incidents that occurred in New York City. Why is this a big deal, Brandon? Why are you even bringing this up? People get shot all the time. No, I'm bringing this up because the laws in New York City, in the state of New York, these liberal leftist places that are advocating for removing of rifles and all this other stuff and taking away your gun rights, and they supposedly have the most prolific gun laws, they have the most gun violence. 9 different incidents in 2 days, 16 people shot. Most of it is probably in the inner city community. People getting home invaded. You know, it's out of control. It is absolutely out of control. And they're the first ones crying and talking about gun rights, gun laws. Nobody should have a gun. Well, the laws you have are very prohibitive. However, it ain't working. You know why? Because you can't legislate morality. Murder has been against the law for I don't know how long. People still killing each other. They still killing each other. The law isn't the problem. The law is for them to prosecute you after the fact. Having a law in place that says that you can't shoot people, you can't carry an automatic weapon, that's not to stop people from carrying automatic weapons by and large. That's so if you do carry an automatic weapon, we could charge you with an additional crime. But you give it up to the left, and somehow they think they can legislate morality. Somehow if the law says X, Y, Z, that somehow people are going to acquiesce to that law more times than not. And that's not true. They did research already with murder yielding a particular penalty, and it has no effect on whether people murder each other or not. Because if you're to the point where you want to take another person's life, that means you really don't care about your life. So if you take another person's life, you go to prison for life, it doesn't matter to you. You never cared anyway. You would do the same thing if you didn't go to jail at all. It's the same thing about drugs and everything else. It's like, you know, the leftists think that you can legislate morality, man. You cannot. You cannot. And there's some things that are put into place to hold people accountable, which I think are good measures. You can mitigate some people for doing crimes if you have laws in place. You can also make sure that they don't commit the same crime twice because they will go to jail the first time. So laws have some value, but to put everything in your purse on that particular idea that laws are going to somehow prevent shootings, it's just not going to happen. You're just going to have to make more and more laws, more and more bureaucracy, and more and more people are going to get killed in vain. You listen to the Ops Tatum Show. Y'all hold the phone. I'm talking about ALC coming up next.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. Unafraid to tell it like it is.
AOC, the dumbest woman on planet Earth with the smartest strategy. I hope you heard me. She's the dumbest person on planet Earth with the smartest strategy. Why is her strategy smart? I don't think it's reasonable, but I think it's smart. All you got to do is try to look cute, say things that make people feel good, even if it's a lie, and just completely repeat that until people begin to believe you. That's exactly what AOC is doing. It says, this article that I was reading earlier from the New York Post said, AOC says companies favoring abortion ban, what they want to do is force poor people to work more. Do you know how stupid that is? But if you say it enough times, people will believe you. It says corporate America favors ban on abortions in order to force poor and working class people to give birth against their will as a way to keep a workforce basically, conscripted to large scale employers to work more. This is from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She must have never worked for a company. Well, she was a bartender, so she probably didn't know the nuances of business. If anything, businesses would rather you have an abortion, right? They would rather you have an abortion. Why would they rather you have an abortion, Mr. Tatum? And this is what women, you know, this is kind of what women are not understanding. If you are working on a job, right, or I got two people that I'm going to hire, and these two people are in their 20s and 30s, right, that means you still have a high propensity of having children. Getting married, having children, most of the people do it within the 20 to 30, late 30 range, maybe even up to early 40s is the range in which people get married. They have children, they start families, they have family, whatever the case may be. They get new families after they get divorces, you know, all of the above. And so if I go to hire somebody, I have to weigh these options, right? I have to say, if I hire this woman and she's still having a future or want to have a future with having multiple children, I'm going to have to pay her paternity leave. There's a potential that she's not going to be able to work and function within the business structure that I have. That is a risk factor that I'm going to have to take into consideration. I have a man. I don't have to worry about it. Now, a company that have to make that decision, they'll say, well, you know what? Honestly, I don't have to worry about this woman because she out here slutting it up, and it doesn't matter because she's just going to have an abortion and she's not going to miss no time off of work. I don't care what she do. And I'm not saying everybody that is having abortions is slutting it up, but you get what I'm saying. These elected abortions are on par with people making decisions, and then because of their selfish decisions and they think that it's best for their career, they decide to kill a potential child. But in that same vein, a business owner, not me, because I'm a person who believe in biblical rights. I mean, not biblical rights, but biblical truth. I wouldn't advocate for an abortion. I'll pay you maternity leave. However, a business that's looking at bottom line and the toxic capitalism is what AOC likes to allude to. They would love for you to have an abortion. These companies that are out here saying they will fly you and pay for your travel to go have an abortion. They don't care about you, woman. They don't care nothing about you. The nightmares that you're going to have after you have an abortion, the complications that you're going to have after you have an abortion, they didn't say they were going to cover that. They're not going to give you counseling. Once you take the abortion pill and you lose your baby and the baby comes out in the toilet, the same toilet that you're going to have to go to on an everyday basis being re-traumatized by an incident in which they had not prepared you for, and nobody's going to be there to help you. They don't tell you when you take that pill that's what's going to happen to you. Anyway, they're not going to help you with none of that. But they're going to help you help them with their bottom line. They will fly you to another state so you can have an abortion. You can show up to work on Monday morning. So AOC is not functionally correct about anything that she's saying. The fact that businesses are against abortions is because they really feel that it's unjustified to murder a child before the child is born. And I know a lot of people say, it's just a clump of cells. It's kind of like comedian Bill Burr. I think it's Bill Burr. Like the comedian Bill Burr said, he was like, if you make a birthday cake and you put it in the oven, and then midway through the oven, somebody slam it on the ground and say, it's not a birthday cake yet. He like, well, if you let it bake, it would have been. Same thing with a baby. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. The left ain't seen nothing yet. Is the Officer Tatum Show. 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
We got people calling in. 844-900-7243. 844-900-7243. Let me go with Mike from San Francisco, California.
Hey, Officer Tatum. You know, I just want to say I was listening to your show earlier today, just about an hour ago, and I just want to tell you I love everything that you're talking about right now. As being a black conservative myself with San Francisco, you are telling the truth, and keep telling that truth because people need to hear it and they need to wake up.
Hey, man. Thank you so much, Mike. I appreciate the call. I met a guy. We were shopping today. I had to go grab some shoes. Because I'm going to do a lot of traveling, I needed some more shoes. It sounded like that scammy pastor that I seen online. He bought a bunch of suits, And in his divorce, they were questioning him. I wish I had that clip. And he said, they said, why do you need Louis Vuitton suits? You spent like $35,000 at Louis Vuitton. He kept saying, well, you know, I sweat through all my suits when I'm preaching, so I need more suits. And the dude sounded like the scammiest dude ever. But anyway, I was going shopping, and I was in the mall, and a young black guy walked up to me and said, hey, man, I watch all the stuff you do, man. I love you. I appreciate you, man. You be keeping it real. That's all he said. That's all I wanted, man. Good seeing you, bro. Keep up the good work. And the funny thing is that a lot of people somehow think that me talking like this is like detrimental to the black community. You know, some people think that. Oh, Brandon, the stuff you be saying, you know, black people. It's like, nah, man, listen, black people, every black person in America ain't soft. Okay. They want to hear the truth, too, just like any other human being. And they like to be challenged. And people who like to be challenged like to be educated. And when you get challenged, you go educate yourself and you prove Brandon Tatum right or wrong. You don't sit there and cry in a circle complaining. You actually go forth and prove the other person wrong if you're a real man. If you're a beta, then don't worry about it. You're listening to the wrong show. However, I thought it was really inspiring for a young man to come up to me and say that, because it just gives me a little bit of hope and saying, oh, okay, I'm not the only one fighting in the wilderness, man. I mean, I know Larry Elder is out there. I know there's a couple other black conservatives, but, man, it felt like it's only like 15 of us in comparison to a world full of liberals. And you know that one day I think we're going to see the tide change. And I don't know if it'll be in my lifetime, but maybe my kids and my kids' kids' lifetime, we'll see the black community move more towards Republicans. And I don't know who's going to vote for Democrats. They're going to have to either change their message or have to cheat every election. But I really am seeing a lot of people change. And you have to understand the impact that you have. Of course, I have a syndicated radio show all across the world, and I have a YouTube channel that's all across the world. We get 30 million page views a month. And of course, I have an incredible amount of influence. But ladies and gentlemen, there's people that don't know who I am and will never know who I am. And they will never listen to my stuff. But they'll listen to you. And you don't have to be talking to millions. You can talk to one or two and be just as effective, because one out of the two people could become the next president of the United States of America. And then you say whose influence was more impactful. So you don't have to look at and compare your influence to the influence of other people. You can diagnose it and say, look, God has a plan for my life. I'm my own individual person. God made me with my own unique DNA and fingerprint. So that must mean I'm unique and I'm separate from other people. And that must mean that God has a unique calling if I'm a unique person. And people have to elevate and bring out the best in them. Like, for instance, I'm not sitting on the radio doing all this by myself. There are other people who are helping in this process that make this come to fruition. And if I didn't have a producer, if I didn't have Sean on the ones and twos, if I didn't have him on the phone answering the phones, if I didn't have Nick over here cutting my videos, I wouldn't be as effective. And you may not be in the forefront, you may not be in front of the camera, but the work that you do is just as invaluable. Now let me tell it to you like this. Everybody knows Tom Brady, but do you know who the left tackle is for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Do you know who the left tackle is? You probably don't. But the left tackle is probably one of the most important positions on the field. Right? Because that's the people who are coming to Tom Brady's blind side. But hold the phone. I'll be back after the break to talk about it more. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. A whole bunch of trouble and stuff that I've read. My producer had sent me, because he gets up faithfully every morning at 5 a.m. looking for stuff and getting it all prepared. And then he normally sends me this afternoon shake when stuff started popping off in the afternoon before the show. And two situations that I'm reading from the download this afternoon is, one is a fire department. The FDNY, it's the New York Fire Department lieutenant, was stabbed to death in Queens by a maniac as she was grabbing food. Absolutely horrible. Lieutenant Allison Russo Elling, a 61-year-old grandmother and department veteran who was a World Trade Center responder on September 11, 2001, was stabbed more than 20 times by an assailant in New York as she was getting food. The sad thing is she was just a few months away from retiring. Tell me how this happens. These places are out of control. They're out of control. And it was caught on surveillance video. She was knocked down by the suspect and then repeatedly stabbed. She leaves behind a family. You know, I think she has children, and they have to now live without their mother because what? A lunatic that probably should have been in jail already. See, this is the thing that people don't understand. And my condolence to her and her family. I really pray that God can give them peace in a time like this. This is what people don't understand about law and criminal law. I mean, not criminal law, but criminal behavior. And when you see these things where you're like, oh, people out here killing people and shooting people and robbing people. I want you to know that that's not their first run-in with the police most of the time. It's not their first crime that they've committed. This is perpetuation of crime committing. And if we had adequate police officers out there, meaning that we had enough police officers to patrol and be proactive, we would already have these people in jail before they ever made it to the point of stabbing a fire lieutenant to death. He would have already been in prison. They would have already caught him on a traffic stop, or they would have got him in, you know, on a consensual contact because they're out doing their job and being proactive. But when you don't have enough police, you've dehumanized them, demoralized them, defunded them, then you have these people running around, and somebody's going to be their next victim, unfortunately. Some new disturbing developments have come out in that traffic accident where the dummy McDum-Dum decided to run over that Republican Trump-supporting teenager. I think he's a Trump supporter. They call him a Republican teenager. The guy says that he was a part of a Republican extremist group, in which there's no evidence of that. Police have found no evidence through an investigation to determine that that makes any sense. He has now been upgraded from vehicular murder or vehicular homicide to now being charged with murder in the death of that young man, Ellingson, who was ran over. And initially they said he was struck by the car and he died. No, his death after the autopsy revealed that that grown man in an altercation with the young kid actually ran him over. And the vehicle running over his body was the ultimate cause of his death. And there's a lengthy explanation of what happened and what was supposed to happen. But initially, on September the 20th, he ended up posting bond for $50,000. He was let out. He wasn't placed on house arrest or curfew. All he had to do, all they told him to do is he couldn't leave North Dakota and he couldn't drink alcohol. Y'all got to think he was drunk when he did it too. He was drunk when he ran his kid over and killed him. And all they did for him is after he posted bail, they said, you can't leave North Dakota and you can't drink. And what the, who's monitoring him? Obviously nobody was. But thank God they ended up getting an affidavit or a warrant for his arrest for murder after the investigation, and he ended up turning himself in. But it's very sad that this lunatic ran over this young man. His funeral will be held this coming Monday. Ran over this young man, killed him because of political differences. And I just can't say this enough, that they talk about conservatives every day of the week, and they act like we're a threat to society, but you have liberals who are out here killing people because they don't like their policies, out here discriminating against people because they don't like their policies. Now, ladies and gentlemen, people are calling in, 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243, if you want to be a part of the conversation. We got Harold from New York. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show. Harold. We got you. Yes, welcome to the Off Tatum Show.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. The other day, I listened to you go back and forth with a gentleman about reparations and moving back to Africa.
Yeah.
And I listened to the whole conversation, and I think you should have asked the $64,000 question. Where are you living now? Because I'm quite sure he was still in America making noise about how bad America is. If it's that bad, leave.
Well, Harold, you know, the funny thing is, Harold, I had asked him at the beginning. I asked him at the very beginning when we start, you know, going back and forth. I said, you know what? Well, which one would you rather live in? Would you rather live in Africa or live in America? And he started stumbling over his words. He couldn't give me a clear explanation. And I'm like, well, why are you still here if you think that Africa is better.
I agree with you 100% because with all of America's shortcomings, the bottom line is he never mentioned the part the Africans played in the slave trade. Are they on the hook for reparations?
Right.
Because according to that, with that Don Lemon interview the other day, that young lady said to him, the Africans had them in cages on the shores waiting for them to be taken away by the Europeans. So is which countries in Africa are liable for reparations?
100%. 100%. Harold, I think you hit the nail on the head, and I think every functional person with a functional brain identifies with that, because you have to say, you go back to the origin. Look at the treatment of Africans by other Africans. The Atlantic slave trade and the slave trade that we saw wasn't because white men just went to the continent of Africa and started stealing black people. Maybe in some sense that happened, but the slave trade was prolific because Africans were enslaving others and trading them, trading people for material goods that really wasn't worth the people, if you ask me. But they did not care. The movie that just came out, the Black Queen or something, like Black King? I mean, female king or something
Woman King or something, which is a nonsense.
Well, it's rooted in a lie, because the actual tribe that they were speaking about was one of the most horrific tribes in enslaving other black people. they were literally known for taking black people's money or enslaving them and taking out of the goods. That's how they enriched themselves as a tribe. I'm sorry, go ahead, Harold.
That's why it's so important. That's why the schools don't teach anything, because if you have a dumb population, they can be manipulated. That's why our schools are terrible, because if you're going to talk about slavery, I want the whole enchilada. Put the whole thing on the table and let me figure it out. And as far as reparations are concerned, I'm 66 years old. I never picked cotton. I never seen separate bathrooms, separate cemeteries, separate lunch counters. If you was going to do this, this should have been done in 1867, not 160 some odd years later. How are you supposed to figure out who's supposed to get what?
Exactly. Who's supposed to?
People that came here after 1865, I'd be raising hell if I had to pay for something I had nothing to do with.
Right. True.
Thank you for taking my call, Mr. Tatum, and keep up the good work, brother.
I appreciate it, Harold. Thank you so much for calling in. I love it. I love it when people call in and just tell the unadulterated truth. It's like, you want reparations. Okay, we missed that point. Now move on. All these white people that came here after slavery. What about the white people that never owned slaves? This is the point that I always think about. I say, okay, in the South, where slavery was legal, not every white person owned slaves. It was only certain people that had the opportunity to own slaves, they had enough money to own slaves, and they used slave labor. Not every white person did. So even white people who lived in the South didn't even have slaves. So how are they responsible when they never had slaves? It's crazy to me. And people forget there are black people that own slaves too. It wasn't as prolific. It wasn't as prevalent, but they were still black people that owned slaves. How do you know that your ancestors weren't one of the ones that owned slaves? Come on, man. We got to miss me with this stuff. And then you want the government to give you reparations? Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show on the Salem News Channel, on the Salem Podcast Network, and right here, right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. People are calling in 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. I'm going to get a couple callers in, and then I want to talk about the trans army officer who has been indicted for selling medical information to Russia, and many, many more cases that I want to talk about. But first and foremost, let me get some callers in. Warren from Montana, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Thank you, sir. I love your show. You are an amazing man.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You had a conversation with Eugene last night, and it's come up again tonight, about reparations. If reparations are paid, do we get to have veterans and their families reimbursed for the members that died in the wars that freed the slaves?
Right, right, right. That's a great question. Do we, and Warren, thank you so much for the call. I really appreciate you calling in. That's an interesting question, because for some reason, it's like people can't compartmentalize. People cannot play this scenario out in their minds. Do you know that, you know, the Union, they did not support slavery. And there was a war. The Civil War was fought. Men died. Slavery was abolished in both the North and the South. Now, slavery wasn't legal in the North anyway, but I'm saying that the prevailing side abolished slavery. The men who were in the North that fought to end slavery as one of the components, what about their reparations? Matter of fact, if it wasn't for them, black people probably still be in chains. You know, what about the Christians who helped Harriet Tubman in the Underground Railroad? What about all the other people who advocated for the freedom of slavery, who never owned a slave, who wanted slavery to end? Do they get reparations? Their families died so black people could have the right that they have in this country. Do they get reparations? Come on, y'all. Let's go back beyond America. Go back to Africa. Since y'all want to be a part of Africa, go to Africa and ask for your reparations. They owe America. Because let me tell you this, a young lady said this on my show the other day, and I thought it was so brilliant. I had never thought of this before. She said, we don't have a legacy of slavery. Because you got to think, after the Civil War, the prevailing party, the prevailing country, who did not advocate for slavery, prevailed. This is our country starting then. We developed the United States of America. We were no longer separated from the Union and the Confederacy. We were one United States. And our party prevailed. And we have never held on to slavery. We are not associated with slavery. You got to go way back to the Confederacy. You got to go way back, you know, even beyond that. Who was related to Anthony Johnson, who's the first legal slave owner in American history, who was a black man? Go back to his roots. It's over. If they didn't get reparations at the time, what are we doing now? Who's going to pay who at this point? Are black people going to not pay taxes for the next 100 years? Is that what you're going to do? Because the government cannot pay reparations, because black people have been contributing into the pot of money that the government is going to dish out. Okay. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the only one thinking. Let me get some more people in. How much time do I got? Only got 90 seconds. I can get one more person in. Got to make it quick. Craig from Chicago, Illinois. I only got 1 minute.
Oh, hey, Officer Tatum. Thank you for taking my call. You're right over the target with the issue with this.
I think we lost him.
Person into the, what's that?
Oh, your phone was cutting out. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Anyways, but our biggest problem is the media. We've got a state-run, corrupt media that makes all of this corruption possible. So it's not bad enough to have a very corrupt Democrat Party, but it's the media. We've got to somehow get this media out of power. We've got to somehow, take money from them by not, supporting them and not listening, not going anywhere near them, because the media is the biggest part of this problem, and they can make all this corruption possible. They cover for the one side, and they attack the other, our side.
100%. Thank you, Craig, for calling in. I love it. That's the truth. The media is the culprit in this situation. They push propaganda. They push lies. They cause division. And they are not held accountable, which they should be. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. Break yourself, fool.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. The left ain't seen nothing yet.
More people are calling in, 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. I want to change it up a little bit and let you hear this comedy skit from Bill Burr, because I said I was going to play it. We had to cut the cuss words out of it. But when you talk about a joke that's related to abortions, when I say not the abortion act, but the defense of abortion by liberals, Bill Burr has done it the right way. So I want to play this clip for y'all to hear it so you can see how ridiculous it sounds for people to defend abortions. Roll the clip from Bill Burr.
Pro-choice always made sense to me because I don't like people telling me what to do. And I always just like, it's your body. Who the f*** am I to tell you what to do with your body? So that always made sense. All right? However, I still think you're killing a baby. See? That's where it gets weird. Not a baby yet. That's what they say, which may or may not be true. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but I'll tell you, my gut tells me that doesn't make sense. It's not a baby yet. That would be like if I was making a cake and I poured some batter in a pan and I put it in the oven, and then 5 minutes later you came by and you grabbed the pan, you threw it across the floor, and I went, what the f***? You just ruined my birthday cake. And then you were like, well, that wasn't a cake yet. It's like, well, it would have been. If you didn't do what you just did, there would have been a cake in 50 minutes. Something happened to that cake, you cake murdering son of a... Right?
What else can you say? Is that not a true statement? Let's cut through the crap. Is that not a true statement? And then I'm going to go on to something else. Is that not a true statement? Right? Listen, when you go to the store to get the cake batter, the way they present it, it's not a cake yet. You still don't have the eggs. You don't put the milk in it. Whatever you put, a little sugar, cinnamon, whatever you add to it, you still have done none of this thing. But on the box, the ingredients to make the cake is presented as a cake. And you know if you take these steps, it will become a cake. The same thing is what God has presented the human biology and female biology, the human male and female biology, is that the stuff that the women got and the stuff that the man got, if you put those together, you make people. That's the whole premise. And you know what it takes. I know what it takes to make people. So when you come together to make people, then why are you shocked that it's a person? Why are you confused that unobstructed is going to turn into a person like you and me? It was just a clump of cells. We were just a clump of cells. Matter of fact, we still a clump of cells. We're just a bigger clump. What are you even talking about? When does an apple tree become an apple tree? Somebody explain to me. When does an apple tree become an apple tree? When it's producing apples? When you can see it visibly once it breached the surface? No. It's an apple tree in the ground. It just takes time for it to manifest its full potential, but it's still an apple tree when it's a seed in the ground, just like a baby. When is a baby a baby? When you can see it? No, it's a baby when the two start infusing. When the sperm and the egg get together, and conception happens, it's a baby. If you just take your hands off of it and don't get involved, it will grow into a person like you and I and 7 billion other people who've been in a process that was not that was unobstructed. Oh, it just makes me mad. I just don't have time for this. I only got a minute left, and I got some people calling in. So just hold a call. I'm going to try to address this one situation. I'm not going to get time to do it, but Trans Army officer indicted for selling medical information to Russia. What a traitor. I hope they put this person on a noose and they hang them for being a traitor to this country. And this fool and his wife both are conspiring to thwart the efforts of the United States of America abroad and giving content or at least medical information from top officials to the Russian government. These two people should be hung for treason, especially because they had a security clearance and they used that to pass information to our enemies. They should be hung from a tree.
This
is the Officer Tatum Show. 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
We got plenty of people calling in. I thought there was something else I was going to do. Maybe I forgot the other thing I want to bring up. But the trans person, let me just add this real quick. I'm gonna try to read it as quickly as possible, and I'm gonna get some of the callers in. It says the wife of a U.S. Army's first trans officer told her to stop being a coward and to overlook ethnic issues when a couple tried to hand over medical records of senior military officers and their families to the Russian government. Now this lunatic, and I don't even want to say their name. One of them is a doctor at Johns Hopkins. I'm sorry. And the other one is a man who trying to be a woman that's an officer in the military. They decided to do this. And thank God they ran into an agent who was undercover posing as a Russian asset. And they were spilling the beans to this person, saying that they have an allegiance to Russia. I think even a dummy that's a man trying to be a woman made the decision, or at least made the statement to the undercover agent that his solidarity is to Russia. He speaks Russian, and he wanted to actually join Russia and help fight in the Russian war against Ukraine on the side of Russia. I can't believe these people are alive. I hope they get put to death. I want to watch it. I'll fly and see it. You decide to do this to your own country. You either deserve to be put to death or we should exile you from this country. You can no longer be a part of the United States of America. You're a threat to our society, especially you serving in the military and you didn't have a security clearance. That's the biggest breach of trust that anybody could ever do in this country as it relates to the security of our country and our nation. Put these people to death, please. Okay, let me get a couple callers in. How much time I got? Let me go with Dominic from Clearwater, Florida. Welcome to the Off Tatum Show.
Officer, thank you so much for your show. You know, I'm pleased with the guy that called about Africa. All respect. I love the way he loves Africa and all that stuff. But let me tell you something about specifically a country called Nigeria. As an Igbo man, I have to change my name to fit it with the bigger tribe, so that I can get a job or I can get into university in Nigeria.
Mm.
Can I surprise you too? When they come out here, they give you a hat. Wear this hat. Wear this clothes. Every time you're wearing that, you are giving into the tribal discrimination. Because if you are there as a foreigner, you can never tell. But when they are with themselves, very discriminative. How come the richest man in West Africa, Dan Kuti, you never see him with African clothes? You know why? Because there is a lot of Igbos that work for him. Africa is not what you think it is.
Mm.
America is the gift of God to the black. The consequences or the situation must have started real bad. And it's bad. It was bad. But please, cherish this country. Does it have does it need room for improvement? Yes. There is nothing like Africa. Some of us have to. Why do you think that we are learning to get out? Why do you think that we will die in a dingy, small little shit boat so that we can get to another country? The tribal discrimination is beyond. Please. It's not what you think. Don't let the eye fool you. Shine a little deeper. You'll see deeper than you think you see. Thank you very much.
Dominic, thank you so much. Clearwater, Florida. My God, that was riveting. I didn't say it. I didn't say it. He said it. Clearly the man is from Africa. But y'all still ain't listening. It's not me. I'm not from Africa. I've never been to Africa. However, a man is telling you it's not what you think it is. There's tribalism that goes on in Africa, especially in the country of Nigeria. And people are lining up putting themselves in harm's way to get to America. And the funny thing is, and I know people don't like to hear me say this, but it's true. If you don't like it, take it up with the Lord. Is that people who come from Africa, they come here, they appreciate this country. They do well in this country. They use the hard work, dedication, and the dream to have freedom, and they come here and take advantage of it. The people who are born here are ungrateful, and they want to go somewhere else where nobody wants to be. When I say nobody want to be, nobody's dying to get to Africa. People who are from Africa are dying to get here. Y'all hold the phone. I'll be back after the break. What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.